Okay, so thank you very much. As Sloan mentioned, I'm going to be speaking today about the use of community health workers, specifically for increasing emergency preparedness, which is a big deal in Loma Linda, but in Southern California. So just to state that I have no relation to disclose. So I am part of the Preparedness and Emergency Response Research Center, which is a joint PERC with UCLA through a four-year CDC-funded grant. The goal of this PERC, or several PERCs around the country, is actually to facilitate research to increase the capacity of national, state, as well as local, the public health workforce. And the project I'm going to be speaking about specifically today is one of several. It's called Community-Based Participatory Research, or CBPR, to develop environmental health emergency resilience. And so we are hoping to really partner with promotores, or community health workers, as they're known in Latino communities, to do this. So just some background. As you may know, disasters across the U.S. give good reason to consider this priority. There are earthquakes, chemical spills, wildfires, floods, even terrorism. And yet, apart from just surviving the actual disaster itself, there are environmental health concerns and environmental concerns that are necessary to address. Food, water, shelter, we all see this after disasters and how long it takes to recuperate. And so in talking about resilience, resilience is a community's ability to bounce back after something has happened, to prepare, to respond to it, and recover. And the public health workforce has actually been identified as an ideal group to build community disaster resilience with the expertise that they have, both in environmental health for those departments and preparedness and response for those related branches or departments. However, especially in vulnerable populations, this is kind of hard to, it doesn't come overnight, you know, especially with those with social vulnerabilities. They become higher risk before, during, and after disasters, and so things like socioeconomic levels that might differ, cultural language barriers that change a community's resilience in terms of preparedness if the worker isn't able to clearly communicate their message, or if it's not received by the community, then that's something. As well as in the response, if you know language is an issue, then the communities may not be able to actually understand and follow directives. So the idea of our project of CBPR to develop environmental health emergency resilience is essentially to take the traditional expert-driven research model that often happens and where the EH, which is environmental health, and EPR, which I will be using for emergency preparedness and response, these are the experts that are, you know, do this on a daily basis, and traditionally it's kind of, it trickles down maybe to community-based organizations and then hopefully to community members who will hear it. But we are hoping to actually provide this overlap where the workforce works directly interacting with the community-based organizations and through that working with community members. And where community health workers or promotores come into this is they, as community gatekeepers and as leaders who are actually doing this kind of promoting outreach, direct interaction with community members already through their community-based organizations, to partner with them as facilitators between all of these stakeholders. So our study focus area is specifically in an area called the Inland Empire in Southern California, in San Bernardino County and Riverside County. San Bernardino County will actually be our control area, but Riverside County is where we have decided to actually carry out the intervention research. So we have partnered with the Department of Environmental Health, as well as the Public Health Emergency Preparedness and Response Branch, as well as two community-based organizations that actually already utilize promotores. And these specific organizations, the Center for Community Action and Environmental Justice, and Poder Popular of the Coachella Valley, they already have an environmental health and environmental justice focus, which is why we decided to partner with them. So while the study as a whole is a mixed method. The results I'll be sharing today is actually from the qualitative portion of our study. We use the social cognitive theory to develop key informant and focus group interview guides. And so we conducted 14 key informant interviews with top-level administrators and managers from both Riverside and San Bernardino County in both departments. And then we partnered with the CBO that I just mentioned to do community-level informant interviews and focus groups. So the way that data was analyzed is we used the grounded theory methods to transcribe all of them. This includes the Spanish, the interviews that were conducted in Spanish. They were coded and analyzed, and then essentially the three perspectives of the EH, of the EPR, and the community members was triangulated to see to give the results that I'll be sharing in just a moment. So from the EH and the EPR workforce perspective, they actually perceive themselves to actually be doing the community outreach, but they did recognize that it was essentially to other service providers, such as hospitals, maybe agencies, and community partners to try to reach their community members. And so it was largely through mass media, emails maybe, print, websites, and in our study population actually, as they are largely Latino, 47% actually in the study area that I mentioned, as well as of a lower socioeconomic status as the average of California, these things didn't really prove to be a means of directly preparing the community the way that they are expected to be doing after a 2002 act that was enacted by Congress following 9/11. So the results showed that funding streams was one reason why they didn't feel like they, the workforce, could actually directly engage. As you can see, this environmental health professional is quoted to say, "Our funding comes specifically from the regulated industry, you know, as they do, you know, code enforcement a lot of the time, and it wouldn't be right to use those monies for something that's not related to that facility that we are regulating. Actually, it's restricted by law in many cases." In addition, as I mentioned, with the cultural and language characteristics of our target communities, sometimes both language and the technical jargon come into play. Another professional quoted as saying, "When we are talking to the community about how to disinfect this water, they might not have a clue what parts per million or ppm is, but they might understand caps of bleach." And this actually proved to be one of the biggest issues, a lack of community trust in government entities. And this was recognized actually both by the community and by the workforce. Community largely because they have personal experience where they were not informed of hazardous things that happened right off their community, and while their community was shut off, the people inside could not evacuate. This happened a couple years ago, so you can see why it's still very close to their minds, and when they kind of lump government entities together, this is kind of the attitude that they have come to develop over time. The group as a whole does not believe that the county government is doing anything to help them prepare for emergencies. And as I mentioned before, the environmental health and EPR workforce also did mention that they understood that there was suspicion on their part. However, the key informant interviews and focus groups also did reveal some of the potential solutions for the issue of preparing communities. And it was using simple, inexpensive, and customized techniques. We can't just go out there and spout orders and say it's because the code said so. We try to educate and listen and rationalize, and we would try the same approach in this arena of emergency preparedness to gather information and analyze it. And building off of this is where the community health workers come in, the promotores, because they were actually brought up, they were recommended from the community to be the facilitators. So this is the basis this is the basis of how CBPR works, where you are essentially going to the community asking, well, this is an issue, how do you see it can be best resolved? And so they were the ones who suggested promotores, because the promoting is what actually works out here, because I mean, they have no other means of getting informed, so we have to go out there and let them know. So what the promotores do from these two CBOs, they actually do knock on doors, they do interact, and they're largely from small communities. So it's in a way where they actually are come to know the people personally, the promotores do. And so the way that we've used these results in our project intervention is to partner with promotores as they recommended. And we are currently implementing several portions. One is preparedness fairs. So we are partnering with promotores to go to local fairs that they identify as being relevant to their communities, where their community members would actually come out and, you know, doing demonstrations, activities with the kids and with adults, doing, you know, awareness level teaching, health education, if you will, even at the community fairs instead of just handing them a flyer. In addition, we have been working on a training of trainers, curriculum specific to environmental health emergency preparedness for promotores, and as well as a tabletop exercise that we're hoping that post training with this curriculum that they can participate in to be essentially practice the skills that they've learned through this training. So here are a couple pictures of the fairs that we've been at, and we have been having them, you know, back to back on the weekends. So one last week, one 2 weeks ago, we're going to have another one this week, and it's really been awesome to see how, while the promotores, their area of expertise before being a part of our project was not necessarily emergency preparedness. It was environmental justice, maybe air pollution out in the desert in Coachella Valley. It was chemical dumping, but they have taken this as their own, and it, I mean, this is the way that the model has been really an indication that it is something that promotores can be a part of. And the second intervention that I mentioned is this curriculum. We've decided to call it Cultivating a Culture of Community Preparedness and Resilience, and it goes through these five modules. And in this training curriculum, we have been working really closely with the promotores themselves to pilot it with them to see what concepts, what words, you know, do they understand, do they not understand, which, because what we are hoping to do is to actually train them initially, and then it's a training of trainers, so they themselves will then be training others, other promotores, just regular community members, to further disseminate this information that's very relevant to their vulnerable communities. And I didn't mention this, but the curriculum itself is actually both in English and Spanish. It comes not only with PowerPoint, as you might, you know, want to use, but with just flip charts, because in a lot of the areas that we're working in, projectors are not really the main use of, the main means of, you know, doing community health education. So, of course, as much as the project has been going very well, there have been challenges. One of them is time to build partnerships and to even schedule events, because we're partnering with promotores to be at these fairs, but we also want them to be interacting directly with the workforce, with environmental health, emergency preparedness and response. And thankfully, environmental health has started to come on board in terms of even attending the health fairs with us, so that they kind of present a a face together to the community. But that has been something, as well as communication, meaning translation of materials. But thankfully, our team actually has been very diligent in making sure that things are as simple as possible. And strategies and lessons learned, I already mentioned translation and piloting, the flexibility of scheduling location of the training. The training that we actually decided to develop was developed because CERT, or the Community Emergency Response Team training that's usually put on or offered by the fire department, is 20 hours and inaccessible both in time and in location for our community. So while that was the first option, we had to actually defer and develop our own. And lastly, building partnerships, so sensitivity to the local internal relationships, as well as using the CBPR methods to engage at the events. So in conclusion, while this research is ongoing, we have been seeing so far that promotores can be key partners for local public health departments. They already have the skill set in terms of doing outreach and being trusted by the community, which pushes back against that mistrust that we mentioned earlier. And they are culturally and linguistically able, though largely in Spanish, because our communities, many of them are monolingual Spanish speakers. So that's the way that we are hoping to increase emergency preparedness capacity in our communities in Southern California. So thank you so much for your time. And if you'd like any more information, my contact information is